Proverbs 25, and look down about verse 18, if you would. And Brother Lauer, we've been preaching through Proverbs since October of 2009. We're not done yet, but we're trying. So we're going to chip off another verse here tonight. The Bible says, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Did everybody find your place? You see that? I'm going to read it again. The Bible says, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. God, we sure are thankful for the Bible tonight, and we're thankful that in there is all the things we need to know about life and how to live it in a godly way. Everything we need to know about you and how you desire to live, how you desire us to live our lives to glorify you. And so tonight as we open, and I pray that you'd please give us wisdom. Thank you for the sweet spirit that's in here tonight. I'm thankful for the cooperation of a church family. And Lord, I just pray that you'll use us to get all of our missionaries out of the nest and where they need to be in the will of God. And I pray, Lord, tonight that we would be in the will of God. I pray that tonight's lesson will be a blessing. Help me, I pray, to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I may be filled with your sweet spirit, and that you would just make me into the vessel of honor and pour through me your truth for us, your church, that we may hear carefully what the Spirit of God is saying to us tonight, and we pray that you'd be glorified in all of it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Fortunately, when you and I were saved, the Bible says we became new creatures. How many believe the Bible teaches that? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are what? New. Become new. Fortunately, when you and I were saved, we were changed into that new creature. Unfortunately, though we are new creatures, we live with an old man inside. And when he comes out, he doesn't normally like to play with others. He's just not very amiable. The old man is selfish, he's prideful, and most of all, he's deceitful above all things and will say or do anything to make himself look good. That's the person that lives inside of us. That's the, well, let's just say this, that's the children that you have. That's the children that I have. We didn't teach them how to lie, cheat, steal, or to be selfish. They learned that naturally by the one man that sin entered into the world. As much as I'd like to think that Anthony and Tina's baby boy is so cute, he's a sinner, just like Peyton is a sinner, and that's the way we all grew up. It is a normal, albeit quite an unfortunate thing, to deal with the pain that comes from words that come out of that old man. It's very unfortunate. It's normal, but it's very unfortunate to deal with what happens when that old man comes out, the words that are said. I suppose nothing causes more pain than words that are not true. The Bible here says a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. And briefly tonight, I want you to take your outline. I want us to consider three conclusive principles surrounding our text and the matter of bearing false witness. Now, be very careful that when you read words like false witness or you read a verse like this, that you just don't stop and ponder and think and meditate, consider all that you can. Otherwise, you're going to miss a whole lot that God has to offer to you by way of the Word of God. When we think about this verse, first of all, this wouldn't be the first time we've ever heard anything like this. This is not the first time the phrase false witness occurs, which tells me, first of all, number one in your outline, we have already been given a definitive command about it. In fact, if you'll turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 20, you'll find this written there among the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, that's a pretty easy commandment to memorize, so let's say it all together. Ready? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So this isn't the first time we've heard of it, but what does it mean? Well, the definition of being a false witness basically means to speak a lie. It's to speak a lie about someone with the intent to make them look bad and yourself look better. The idea is, I'm going to mischievously say something that is wrong about somebody to defame them. The defamation of character. The Bible uses in a variety of different ways. Letter A, the term slander is a part of the family. Proverbs 10, verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. The word slander is synonymous. Jeremiah 6, 28, they are all grievous revolters walking with, notice, slanders. They are brass and iron, and they are all corrupters. The word slander there again. Psalm 101 and verse 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, notice this, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. So apparently they go together. This matter of pride, thinking of self, and bringing someone else down. And God says, just so you know how I feel about it, I've commanded it, so if you break it, I'm going to cut it off. I don't appreciate it. Another term, letter B, is backbiting in the Bible. Romans chapter 1 and verse 13, when they knew God, they didn't glorify God. The process of not being thankful and worshiping the creature greater than the creator, the Bible says that he gives them up to vile affections, he gives them up to a certain way of life, and then eventually gives them over, and the Bible says here in verse 30 of Romans chapter 1, that they are backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, notice the word proud again, boasters, inventors of evil. So this is a matter of sin. God says, I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, watch this, envyings, wrath, strife, backbitings. Now, this is in a church. Now, we would understand it. Well, this would be normal for the guys that work down at Mercedes that are out turning the wrenches every day. And, you know, they want to say what happened over the weekend, or this is what I did, and what did you do? And maybe bearing false witness of somebody that's not around that day because they called in sick. You would expect that. But of Christians, that there would be slander or backbiting or some kind of false witness. And God says, well, it's right here in this church. Letter C, another synonymous word of it is tail-bearing. The tail-bearer in the Bible. Leviticus 19:16, thou shalt not go up and down as a tail-bearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. I like it when God reminds us who he is. He says, now, I just want you to remember who I am. I am all, I hear all, I see all. And he reminds us there again, you're not supposed to go up and down as this backbiter, as this slanderer, as this talebearer. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. So I think it's rather fair to say that we know exactly where God stands on telling lies about someone. He says it just not ought to be. There's a definitive command. Secondly, we see the damaging content. Why is God so bent on the truth? Well, because he is truth, first of all. He is the God of truth. Jesus was full of grace and, well, help me, truth. The damaging content. I suppose that if it were to be, if we were to be good children of God, now listen carefully. If we were to be good children of God, his command not to bear false witness, or his command not to do certain other things, just his command would be enough. Unless, in other words, if he just said it once in Exodus 20, it ought to be enough. But he didn't. I believe because he knew it wouldn't be enough. He knew we would always be questioning, we would always be forgetting, we would always have to see it in a different context, in a different dispensation of our life. And so God says, hey, I want you, you know, kind of like your children and my children, we want them to obey right away with the right heart attitude, right? Well, so does God. I suppose it would be enough, but he says, for those of us who need an explanation, God offers the reasons for not lying about somebody, because it hurts. Oh, not the one saying it. And we never think about the repercussions of sin often. We just think about the blessing it is or how we look when we say it. We're so spiritual. And God says, so in case the command's not enough, I want to show you what the end result is of backbiting and slander and bearing false witness against somebody. You'll see it in your notes. False words are fearful weapons. I added later, in the hands of hateful people. False words are fearful weapons in the hands of hateful people. God's the one that wrote the word of God. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor, notice, is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Now, we have a picture of a maul. This is a battle axe. That's what it says. Now, you can either bludgeon somebody or you can spear them, but that's what the Bible says is false witness. God says, I want to paint you a picture, and everybody in Bible times would know what that is, especially Solomon's son. Here's the battle axe. When you bear false witness, that's what it feels like to the person that hears that's what you said about them. Your battle, it's a battle hammer. It's a war club. notice the word not maul, but he also uses a sword and a sharp arrow. I thought about this. The sword's for those that are close up. The arrow's for something at a distance. So I don't have to be in the circle of someone in order to hurt them with my words. But there are some people, you know, there's something to be said about keeping your friends close to you, but your enemies even closer. Yeah. God says, I want you to see it. I want to give you a pictured illustration. When you bear false witness, this is what I'm liking it to. Now you know why you shouldn't do it. So letter A, they're powerful weapons. The truth is powerful. Do you believe that? But so is a lie. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat of the fruit thereof. Circle that word power in your notes. Do you know that that word power means it's basically the power of something in the hand of a man? Isn't it interesting? That God says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and the word power has to do with what I could do like that. And yet he says right here, bearing false witnesses is like a maul and a sword and an arrow, all which are used with a hand. Isn't that interesting? We're going to be a little interactive here for the next 5 minutes or so. And so you have the verses down there. Randy, I want you to look up Psalm 52:2 there. And George, I want you to look up 57:4 for me. Psalm 57:4, can you do that? And then, let's see, John Matthew, can you look up Psalm 59:7 for me? Brother Lowry, will you look up Psalm 64:3 for me? And then, Austin, did you bring your Bible? I know you were sitting in the back. I'm just trying to check and see if you have it, okay. Proverbs 12:18. Can you do that? And then, Matt, can you look up Jeremiah 9 and verse 8? And we're going to go in order, okay? So whether you're following along physically, whether you're going to look them up or not, I listed the verses down there so that you can have them, but I want you to hear what the Bible says concerning these words and the power of words. Psalm 52:2. Go ahead, go.
Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully.
Like a what? A sharp razor. Isn't that interesting? 57:4.
My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword.
Psalm 59:7.
Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips, for whose say they shall kill.
64:3. Proverbs 12:18. Jeremiah 9:8.
Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his way.
Isn't it amazing? God says, I want to make sure that we're clear on this. There are people who will use the power of words to pierce, poke, and to cut. God says, the one that bears false witness is like a maul, a sword, and an arrow. And he's very, very descriptive. You get the sense from Scripture that bearing false witness about another is harmful. It's injurious. It's detrimental. And deadly. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They're powerful weapons. Secondly, they're prevalent. They're prevalent weapons. And I would say it's not just the 21st century. It's always been. It's always been. Do you know why? Because of the author of sin. The devil is a liar from the beginning, and the truth is not in him. So even good people can be lied to. So before you get on Eve's back, just remember, more than likely, you're going to be beguiled at some time, and you're going to be tempted to with the truth or with a lie about someone. You're going to try to make yourself look better and someone else look worse. And so it may not be completely bold and straight out. It may just be a tweaking of it. But nevertheless, any variation from the truth, no matter how major or minor, is still a lie. God says when you do that, you understand that is a powerful weapon in your hand. And you're bearing that to somebody. But they're prevalent. Look at Proverbs 30 and verse 14. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among the men. Now, I don't think it would be fair to say necessarily that this is the only generation where people have ever lied in, but I think you could agree with me that it's probably worse than it's ever been. From the top down, there's a lot of people who struggle with just speaking the truth. When it comes to people, just watch the news and everything that's being thrown back and forth across. It's so frustrating. I don't even watch it. I literally do not watch it anymore. I thought maybe after the election it would settle down a little bit. Good night. I don't know if it's ever going to settle down. Oh, back and forth, just lobbing this and lobbing that. Pretty soon you look at it and you go, what's true and what isn't? I don't even want to watch it anymore. So I'll just let God be true and every man a liar. I'll just start listening to the Word of God and let Him sort it all out when in His time. Until then, though, I need to understand the generation that I live in. I need to be very careful because the Bible says, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offenses come. It is here. We live in that generation whose words are cutting. Somebody said, many a blunt word has a sharp edge. So keep your words soft and sweet. You never know when you're going to have to eat them. Someone else said, gossip is like soap, mostly lie. A gossip is just a fool with a keen sense of rumor. See? We live in a society who is naturally bent toward the lie. We as children of the light should be naturally bent toward the truth. Okay? Now watch this. God says, I want to give you a warning about the damaging content of bearing false witness. And more than likely, I would hope and pray that nobody in here would be a talebearer. I'd like to think that every person sitting in this room has a clear conscience before God tonight that they're not a liar about someone else in our church. That you would not be a defamer. You wouldn't be a slanderer. You wouldn't go about tale-bearing about others. But it may happen to you. It may not be you giving it. But what if it happens to you? You ever had your character attacked? Brother Baldwin and I were talking about that this week. It's like, especially for preachers, it's like, They don't want to talk about what is, it's only what's perceived, and they immediately go for the throat. That's the character. We're just gonna say whatever it takes to tear down the man of God. Well, I'll tell you this. The Bible plainly says it's not just preachers. Yea, but all that will live godly shall suffer persecution in Christ Jesus. You try to do right long enough, someone's gonna say something wrong about you. You try to live right, it's going to happen. Yes, we're supposed to not let any man despise our youth, but be thou an example unto the believers, and we're supposed to live that kind of life and live godly. But what about those people that don't want to? What about the backslider? What about the people that decide, well, they may never say anything about me, but I'll tell you about them, and they start uttering words that are false. What do you do? Well, number three, let me just say this. There's a divine comfort, and we've got to seek it. If it's ever said something about you falsely, know that you have a divine comfort in God. Now, I want you to take your Bible, and we're done here, and turn to Psalm 57. Now, I gave Psalm 57. Who had Psalm 57 for? Okay, George. Now, that verse was one of the verses that I referenced in the description of words and the piercings, okay? But I want you to see the context of it, and I want you to circle or highlight or annotate, Miss Sandy, you'd write this psalm, just Psalm 57 on a card. Somebody needs this because someday someone is going to say something against you, and it's going to cut. How many in here would say, preacher, to be honest, somebody somewhere in my lifetime has said something false about me, and it hurt me bad? Okay, that's almost every hand in here. Okay, when it happens, what are you going to do? Look at what it says in Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, here it is, And I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. And notice the corner that he turns. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Wait a minute, I thought they cut. Yeah, but remember where he started? He already knew where to go. He was praying, and then he lets us in on why he was praying. Because they're cutting me. God be merciful. And he goes on. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They've digged a pit before me in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. But, watch this, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. They may be speaking, but I'm singing. I'm not listening. I'm singing. Watch. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. He never answered them. What did he do? He put his eyes on Jesus, and he sang praises to God. Oh, he prayed and cried out for mercy. Even though they were cutting him, even though they were saying things that were not right, they were laying a snare and danger that they had already fallen into. But he wasn't going to stoop. We have a divine comfort that we've got to seek. Chances are, if you have not ever had someone say anything false about you, they will. Christians can work at being a good example. They can be disciplined students of the Bible, growing in grace and not fall behind in any gift. Their testimony and conscience can be blameless before God and still have people say lies about them to tear them down. I submit to you the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3 and verse 8, and not rather as we be, listen, slanderously reported. Slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. 2 Corinthians 10:10, Paul said, for his letters say they, speaking of him, are weighty in power, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. It's all false. 2 Corinthians 11:28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. Listen, who is weak, and I'm not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? You see, the Apostle Paul had every opportunity of the perils among the countrymen of my own brethren to burn and to lash out, and to speak against. But you don't fight the good fight doing that. You don't finish your course doing that. How did he finish? By the grace of Almighty God. His grace was sufficient. He found that out. If someone lied about the Lord, and they did, mark it down, someone's going to lie about you. And when they do, you need to understand that Satan is behind it, and he wants you to quit. Wants you to give up. Wants you to get your eyes off of the Lord. So what do you do? What's the divine comfort? Well, letter A, don't be carnal. Whatever you do, don't go back to the old man that we started with. H.A. Ironside said, indignation against the false accuser, a determination to clear oneself at all costs, if possible, to avenge oneself of the evildoer. How natural are all these things to the human heart? Natural. You need to equate natural with not good, bad. Natural, carnal. The natural man understandeth not the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. So don't be carnal. Why? Well, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal man is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Don't be carnal when God's allowed it, because you've got to remember, God allowed it. He could have stopped it at any time. Do you understand that? If he can make a donkey speak, he can stop the mouths of anything else. You got that? So when it happens, don't say, God, how could you? Because what you're doing is you're just questioning the character of God. He's trying to prove your spirituality, prove your faith. He's trying to strengthen you at all costs. So whatever you do, don't be carnal, because you can't please God carnally. Letter two, do be spiritual. Don't be carnal, be spiritual. Ironside said to remember that nothing can come to a believer but What divine love can use in blessing is to rise triumphant above the tongue of slander and every other evil. Nothing is harder for a wounded spirit and a sensitive soul than to endure uncomplainingly untrue accusations. Now, it's one thing to try to get over it if it's true, right? In that case, you just need to humbly accept the responsibility, confess your sin, and get it right. But if it's untrue, now we're talking a total different emotion. Now we're talking about it's not fair, I can't believe you'd say that, and the natural thing is to try to what? Control the information, control, go around, I've got to say this to this person, I've got to go over here, but what if they believe me? And now you're trying to do something that's unnecessary because it's false. God said, hey, I want you to understand something. I've allowed this. Let me take care of it.
That's good, man.
Let me do it. You remember when the Bible says that when Jesus was reviled on, he reviled not again? He never spoke to his accusers. So let me give you a few things that you need to do. Number one, don't take things into your own hands. Don't do that. Don't take things into your own hands. Number two, take it to the Lord in prayer. Psalm 120, verse 2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips. You're giving God the opportunity, guess what, to be God. If we believe that he is in control of all things, by the way, I'm a firm believer of that. He's in control of all things, and he works all things together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, if I pray and ask him to do what only he can do, then certainly, let the number three, I can expect God to act like he did for David and for Job and for Joseph and for Daniel. Why wouldn't he if I'm right? Why wouldn't he if my purpose and motive is clear, my conscience is right? Why shouldn't I be able to expect that? Why don't I let God be God? Oh, it's absolutely detrimental that we watch what we say, but it's equally as detrimental that we watch how we react to what has been said. Lastly, then to continue to live above reproach. Someone said the best way to silence your critics is to succeed in the will of God. You don't have to answer them. If it's false, it's false. You ever heard this phrase? The truth will come out.
Yeah.
It has a way of doing that. And when it comes out, it will be all right. And if it's not true, it's all right already if I let God have control. Let's watch the tongue and the truth. Not only what we say, but how we respond to it when it's given to us. Father, we sure love you. We thank you for simple truths in the Bible like this. We thank you for the answer, Lord, that all things are in your hand and you have given us, Lord, you've given us truths and promises that we need to know and remember. Because, Lord, somebody's going to say something about us one day. And God, we're going to, our knee-jerk old man reaction is going to be to do things carnally and not worry about what God wants. Trying to clear our name. Lord, there's only one name given under heaven among men whereby people must be saved, and it's your name. Your name is the most important thing. And Lord, we don't have to take vengeance into our own hands. You'll vindicate the truth. We can say nothing against the truth but for the truth. So we trust you. God, I'm sorry for all of these people that have had things said against them falsely. And Lord, certainly we need to be mindful of the things that we say about people, whether they're here or not. I pray that you'd help us to be cautious, not hasty with our words, because they're very powerful. And Lord, I pray at the same time when those same words have been turned on us falsely, Lord, we would just be like Jesus. We would allow those words to accomplish a humbling and a grace filling. And Lord, that we would cast those cares upon you. You know all the truth. You know all that's right and wrong. There's nothing under heaven that you don't know about. And so I pray that we would trust you even more. I pray that this truth would help somebody. In Jesus' name I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, real quick.